It's time for the best coverage of the top stories in sports. The Sports Wrap with Jason Page starts now.
Yes, it does. Thank you, Chad Erickson, for that warm introduction as we get things started on this Thursday edition of the show. Nick Ferguson, former NFL safety, KOA Radio in Denver. He'll join us for a couple of NFL segments coming up. About 20 minutes from now, Jeff Fletcher will talk to us. He's an Angels beat writer. We'll get some thoughts with him from Tempe, Arizona. Where the Angels are going through spring training and what has to be a weird spring training. You know, all the media buzz, all the Shohei Ohtani, following is gone. The circus has left town. And what's left? What will the Angels be this year? Part of our AL West preview that we are doing this week. We're three teams in, a couple more to go. We start things out in the NBA. And boy, how do you not, Sam Yarnell? How do you not, Sam Yarnell, start with what we witnessed last night in Los Angeles at Staples Center with the Clippers and the Lakers? And look, I've got to be honest here. I keep it real with my audience. I can sit here and lie and say, man, I was in it from start to finish. I wasn't. The Lakers were getting dusted in this game. Got to the fourth quarter. I said, you know what? I'm going to go walk the dog. This thing's a rout. There wasn't anything that I saw that told me the Lakers were going to erase a 21-point fourth quarter deficit with LeBron outscoring the Clippers. There wasn't anything that told me this was going to happen. So what happens? I wind up missing another chapter in the book of greatness for LeBron James. You know who didn't miss it, though? The guy who watches less NBA than me, Sam Yarnell, was watching it. So, Sam, was your mouth agape watching what happened last night?
Well, I had the exact opposite experience, Jason. I was just, you know, doing other stuff, doing some work, filling out some sheets and emailing some people, and all of a sudden, I was like, hey, this Clippers-Lakers game is on. I got nothing better to do. You know, it's almost bedtime. Just throw it on real quick before bed. Maybe it'll tire me out watching all these guys run up and down the floor. And all of a sudden, witness greatness, right? Like, that was exactly what it was. LeBron James is one of one. To outscore the Clippers single-handedly in the fourth quarter is incredible. His performance was outstanding. And, you know, obviously I'm biased. I never got to see Jordan play, but I think it's pretty clear and obvious that LeBron James is the best basketball player of all time.
Be careful. There are going to be some people who come at you. Prisoner to the moment, hyperbolic, all that stuff. But my God, he was something special last night. And we won't see anything like it again in our lifetime, because guys don't play that long anymore. They don't need to. There isn't the want to. I'm trying to think if there's anybody other than LeBron who's in the league right now that I could imagine playing that long. And there isn't. There isn't anybody that I could envision that would hang around that long, that would have a reason. Plus, part of it, the motivation, Jason, obviously, is playing with his son. I don't think Jason Tatum would, though, because I don't think he'll
be good enough to, but like, so actually he may be good enough to. I don't think he'll be good on the level that LeBron is. He won't be, you know, that level, that echelon of greatness. But I think that the drive for Jason Tatum to win an NBA championship may keep him in the league a little bit longer than we may expect.
Yeah, it's possible. But it was amazing. I went back and went through the highlights this morning and watched it, and it was just amazing to see. But shift the conversation away from the Lakers, who are, let's be honest, they're probably going to be a team that's a play-in team. They might be a team that could sneak into the top eight. They've got a stretch of home games coming up that's certainly going to allow them to gain some ground in the West. If they're going to make a push, it's going to be now. Let's shift the conversation from the Lakers to the Clippers, because a lot of people have looked at the Clippers over the last couple of months as the team that could challenge Denver, who's kind of sleepwalking through the regular season, let's be honest. I think they know what it takes to win an NBA title right now, so they don't have to play it as hard necessarily as they did last year. They're pacing themselves. But watching this Clippers team last night, I wonder if it gives some people some pause about whether or not this team is a title contender.
Yes, Jason, I've been saying it to you on this very program since they signed James Harden. Listen, this team would have been absolutely dominant in 2016. They would have been great. You're actually pretty much looking at the starting five for the Western Conference All-Star team in the 2016 All-Star game. Now, all of that said, the year is 2023, and all of these guys showed their age, especially last night. I think that last night was kind of a great biopic, almost, if you will, on the Los Angeles Clippers this season. They played so well until it mattered, right? Like, that's exactly what this team is poised and built to do. And that's what I texted you off the air last night. This team is just not built to beat the big dogs in a playoff series. If they can't hang with a 20-point lead against the Los Angeles Lakers at home, in air quotes, right? Because it's the home arena for both teams as of right now. But if they can't hang with that team in this situation, give me the Nuggets all day. Give me the Thunder all day. I might even take the Warriors over the Clippers right now. And I said that to you the other day when we were talking about the Warriors.
I'm never going to panic off one loss. You know, I don't think it is a microcosm by any stretch of their season, because I also watched this team, a week and a half ago. Might have been just before the All-Star break or just after against the Warriors. Come from behind late, missing players, their head coach gets ejected in Ty Lue, and able to win on the road against a Warriors team that's playing really good basketball right now. So I'm not necessarily ready to jump off the ship, but it was one of those games that did kind of make you step back for a second and say, okay, let's not crown them as the team, you know, ahead of an Oklahoma City, ahead of a Minnesota, to potentially dethrone the champions in the Denver Nuggets. I still think there's enough talent here. They were without Zubats last night as well. You have to keep that in mind. As you get later in the game, guys get run down. You get guys playing in minutes that they might not necessarily be playing. You have to kind of take that as well. But I still think the Clippers are a team to contend with. And hopefully this loss last night, if anything, maybe it startled them a bit. Maybe it jarred them a little bit. Maybe it gets them back to doing some of the things that made them so successful over the last couple of months. Go ahead, finish it off.
If we started a 7-game series right now, Jason, between mm-hmm. the Timberwolves and the Clippers, who are you taking?
Oh, see, you're asking the wrong person, because I'm not a believer in the Timberwolves in the postseason. So I would take the Clippers. I'll go with the Clippers. We're coming back. Lots more to do. A baseball preview on the Angels is next.
Over 13 million Americans were affected by identity theft in 2022, and the threats go way beyond just credit card fraud. Today's identity thieves can use your information in ways that are easy to miss by just monitoring accounts and credit, like opening loans, transferring home titles, even committing crimes.
Someone got my Social Security number, made a driver's license, and was used for criminal activity.
You can do so much with a Social Security number that I didn't know could happen. They drained my bank account. It was terrifying.
You're even more vulnerable than you realize. Your information is exposed through online shopping, banking, even corporate data breaches. No wonder there's a new victim of identity theft every 3 seconds. Only LifeLock alerts you to the widest volume of threats all in one place. Like someone trying to use your Social Security number, open a new loan in your name, or even commit a crime in your name.
There was a big yes button and there was a big no button. I clicked, that's not me, and LifeLock took it from there.
If you become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will be assigned to your case and work to fix the issue on your behalf.
If something happens, you have somebody fighting for you.
All LifeLock members are backed by the LifeLock $1 Million Protection Package, including reimbursement for stolen funds, personal expenses, and coverage for lawyers and experts up to $1 million. It can be dangerously easy to steal your identity. With LifeLock, it's easy to help protect yourself.
I will be with LifeLock forever.
Join the millions of people already protected by LifeLock. And for a limited time, save 25% on your first year with promo code 25TV. All plans include a 60-day money-back guarantee. Call 800-710-7531 or visit LifeLock.com/25TV to save 25% on your first year of identity theft protection. Enroll now.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Call the number on your screen today. It's a free call.
We continue on this Thursday edition of the show. Our spring training preview continues. I said 30 teams and 30 shows, and that is what we're giving you. We're doing the AL West this week. Of course, we've already done the Mariners. We've already done the Rangers. We've already done the Astros. Just leaves two teams, that being the Angels and the A's. Let's get into the Angels right now. Spend a few minutes with Jeff Fletcher, who does a terrific job covering the team, has been for some time now. SoCal News Group giving us some time from Tempe, Arizona, the training site of the Angels. And Jeff, I guess I kind of begin, with this team that just feels like it's been running in mud for a few years. And it's so frustrating as somebody that watches baseball and really has enjoyed some of the talent in this organization. But it just feels like they cannot put a group of players together that either A, can stay healthy, or B, can compete with some of these teams we see in the West. Now you lose Shohei Ohtani. You got Ron Washington managing the team. You got a whole bunch of question marks, and sort of start there. I mean, what does this team feel like? What does the vibe feel like around this team as we start spring training?
Well, the vibe, first of all, is very good because it's spring training. And if you don't have a good vibe in spring training, you got something wrong. So if you're talking about around the team, I think they all are pretty optimistic about kind of getting a fresh start. They've sort of had this Ohtani thing hanging over them. Obviously, it was great to have Ohtani, but then there was a lot of like, oh my gosh, they're the team that can't win with Ohtani. So now they don't really have that. They don't have any expectations. It's kind of a lightening of the load. There's a lot fewer media following them around, and they just kind of feel like they can be themselves, and it's a little more relaxed. Obviously, that's a big talent that they lost, but you know, they got a lot of guys that they really feel like they did not play up to their potential last year. And if you add all those up, you know, if you have 10 or 12 different guys that all get a little better, then that's what their hope is.
Talk about Mike Trout, because so much of the conversation in this offseason was, will he, won't he, will he look for a trade, will he ask out if they continue to struggle? He remains steadfast in his, you know, in his belief that, you know, he wants to be an Angel and he will stay there. Is it realistic, though? I mean, if this thing just continues to sort of go the way it has, do you see a scenario where he would ask out?
No, I don't. I don't think that anybody really who was paying attention to the Angels ever thought he was going to ask for a trade. First of all, you can't trade him because he makes too much money, he's too old, and he's gotten hurt too much. So you start with that. Second of all, I think that Mike Trout really likes where he is. And I think that if he goes somewhere else and is the same Mike Trout that we've seen over the last 3 years, which is a guy who's hurt a lot and not really performing up to his MVP level, that's not a very comfortable situation. When you go into another situation like that and you don't have all the goodwill built up that he's got built up in Anaheim, if he goes to Philadelphia, you know, and he has the year that he just had with the Angels where he's hurt and, you know, 850 OPS, that's probably not, you know, a very comfortable situation for him. So I think that the only way that he would ask for a trade is if he gets back to some kind of serious MVP level to where he knows that he's going to be, you know, great again, which is possible, and the rest of the team still struggles.
One more on Trout. Let me ask you. You know, okay. I noticed the Yankees in this offseason said, hey, let's try and figure out a way. Giancarlo Stanton, much like Mike Trout, always injured. Trying to figure out ways to improve his health from, you know, losing weight and things like that.
is there any one thing, and I know he has the sort of degenerative back condition that's been a problem, but is there any one thing they think they can do that can keep him on the field for 120 to 140 games?
Well, I mean, his back really, he didn't have any of these kind of little nagging things last year. Last year, he broke his hand. So nothing you can do about that. The back that people got kind of worried about in 22, he came back from that in 5 weeks, and he's had no problems with it since. So certainly things do crop up just when you're a guy his size. But I think that they did in 23, they felt like they really took the measures to prevent that kind of thing, and then he just broke his hand.
I've been a Joe Adell guy for a while. Is he going to see any playing time? I look at this outfield, Mickey Moniak, Trout, Taylor Ward. Can Adell crack this lineup at all? Can we at least find out what the guy is at some point here? He got hurt last year when he came into play for Trout. I mean, can we find out what Joe Adell is already?
I mean, I think there's going to be opportunity. Certainly, you know, Mickey Moniak has not had such a stellar major league performance that he's going to not allow any crack for Joe Adell to get through. If Joe Adell plays well, you know, in spring training, and then once the season starts and plays well, he's going to continue to play. And I don't think that the Angels are going to have a problem where they're going to have a really good Joe Adell that they can't find at bats for. That'd be a good problem to have. But I think that if he can perform, he will get the chance to do it.
You know, there's been a lot of conversation around ownership with this team and Artie Moreno and everything that's gone on with sell the team, not sell the team, all of that. If this team is in the mix, if we're talking about a team that is a contender for a wild card on the periphery or just inside the wild card bubble, if they are so fortunate to be in that position, do you get the sense that this team is willing to invest in making deals to bring in talent that might cost them some money?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they did it last year. They basically put themselves over the luxury tax, making the trades that they made when they were going for it in late July. It just failed horribly. And then they, you know, spent the next, a month later, they went back under the luxury tax, which was something that a lot of teams couldn't afford to do. But they have lots of room right now. Now they're like $50 million under. And so certainly they could add whatever they need to add if the situation rises in the middle of the year.
Give me one guy to look for in terms of this pitching staff to watch for this year.
I mean, I think Reed Detmers is a guy who really, you know, he pitched a no-hitter in 22. He was a pretty good pitcher for the second half. He came out last year and was really terrible at the beginning, but then he seemed to figure some things out and was good at the end of the year. He's got probably the best pure stuff of any of the pitchers they have right now. And he's still very young. I think that if I'm banking on a guy who at the end of the season is going to be their best pitcher, I think it's going to be him.
Jeff Fletcher, SoCal News, giving us some time on the show. SoCal News Group, I should say. Appreciate you helping us out with our Angels preview. We'll talk to you throughout the season. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We got a lot more to do. Don't go anywhere. Sports Wrap continues on this Wednesday, on this Thursday. Got my days all screwed up. We're coming back. Lots more to do. Don't go anywhere. Good to have you with us on this Thursday edition of the show. No matter what I say to Jeff Fletcher, it is Thursday. Good to have you all with us. As I said, Sam Yarnell will rejoin us in about 20 minutes for something to consider. Also, odds and ends still to come in this program. Let's talk some NFL. If we're going to do it, let's bring in our man, the Nick Ferguson, former NFL safety, KOA Denver, sports radio host as well, connoisseur of all things football. I want to start with the combine, Nick, and this news that came out today that Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to opt out of basically all the workouts in Indianapolis. And, you know, it's just another one that we keep hearing about, you know, all these different players that want to do their personal workouts and rather have scouts come watch them there. In the case of a wide receiver, we've heard about it a lot with quarterbacks over the years. In the case of a wide receiver, what are scouts missing by not having them work out there versus having them do a personal workout?
Well, one of the things they're going to miss out is just kind of comparing him to the rest of the field. And usually it's kind of one of those size things. You want to see one guy standing next to the other. Just think about when Bryce Young was at the combine last year. We never really saw any photo or video of him standing next to Anthony Richardson or any other large quarterback. So that's kind of one of the things that you miss out on. But what you do get with the combine and Marvin Harrison going to the combine is, you know, it brings that hype there, which is something that the league wants and NFL Network definitely wants. But it gives the team an opportunity to interview him. That's kind of the most important part. Sitting with him in formal and informal meetings and trying to get to know him. And then also the medicals, being able to look a guy up and down and see if there are any red flags you need to be aware of. But I mean, Marvin Harrison opting out, it's not a big deal to me as though it's being made out to be for a lot of individuals. And here's why. I mean, he's one of the highly coveted receivers in this combine, and he is the top receiver. Now, only top players can actually do this. Caleb Williams is doing it. Jaden Daniels is doing it. Drake May, he's doing it, but I don't know why. He's definitely one of those guys who should be working out. But you can only do this if you are a top guy. If you are a guy that's kind of on the bubble and you're not coming from a Power 5 school, you're from the mid-majors, you need to participate in everything that they're doing at the combine. But I don't have an issue with Marvin Harrison opting out of everything else.
And in the case of a Drake May, and frankly all these guys, if you don't have the greatest combine, you still have the backup option of that personal workout. You know, so especially in the case of a Drake May, who could only improve his status, you know, if he has a great combine. It is kind of odd to me, you know, that we continue to see this. And I'll get into the Justin Fields conversation in the next segment, but just bring it back to Caleb Williams here for a second. It almost feels like, for as much tape as we have of him, it feels like he's sort of a man of mystery because he doesn't say a lot. So while his play on the field says a lot, he personally, Nick, doesn't say a lot. So it's leaving scouts and organizations kind of trying to figure out who this guy is, what he wants out of an organization. It's kind of an odd vibe around him.
But see, I like it because there is the intrigue, right? Here you have a guy who was a Heisman Trophy winner a year and a half ago, and now he's still one of the top prospects in the NFL, and Chicago's on the clock, Washington's on the clock, and we don't know what they're going to do as far as their quarterback position. We know they need a quarterback, but Caleb Williams doesn't really have to say a whole hell of a lot because he is one of the top prospects. Now, once again, and you mentioned it, the one thing that matters most is your tape. Your tape has to speak volumes for you. Just think about last year with Will Levis, what Will Levis had to do. Will Levis has a strong arm, but we saw at so many times at the combine, he was talking himself up, trying to build himself up to teams. I don't want that guy. Where I come from, where I grew up in Miami, the saying was, don't talk about it, be about it. And if you look at the tape of what Caleb Williams is putting out there, and I'll say for this, some of the other top prospects, that's the thing that speaks volumes for an individual. And the combine is only to reaffirm you of what you saw on tape. So Caleb Williams is just fine. I think he's fine. And as long as he goes into those informal and formal interviews and he blows them away with his ability to, I guess, regurgitate the information back to them, because there's a lot of X's and O's,
sure,
teams like to players. As long as he does that, he is okay. And think about what those interviews are anyway. They're not to uplift Caleb Williams or any of these prospects. It is to bring them down and lower their value. So the less they know, the better it is for you.
In 10 years, are we even going to have a combine anymore? Because it just feels to me, with players saying, hey, I want to do my own personal workouts, all of this, do you think we're going to get to a point eventually where the combine kind of just goes away or fades into the background?
Absolutely not. I mean, here's why. Because when we look out every single year, the conversation is always going to be surrounded by the quarterbacks and which quarterback is better than the other. And then we're going to have some quarterbacks not work out. And then we're going to have some quarterbacks to work out to elevate their status. Like you have
Bo Nix. But Nick, I'm going to stop you. And here's why I disagree with this.
Okay, well, tell me why.
I think players now, because of college and NIL and players being able to now build their own brands. Used to be when you got to the NFL, that's when you really built your own brand. Yes, you could shine on the college level, but not like today with NIL being what it is and sponsorship deals. You can basically have your brand already built before you get to the NFL, which gives you the ability to say, I'm not coming. And the NFL can't really do anything to stop you.
Wait, first of all, once again, what you're saying is partially true, but let's really think about that and take that into consideration. How many college guys, prospects coming out every single year will be in that particular realm? I say you get like 5, 10, 15 at the most. So that means all those other guys who are below the radar, that's an opportunity for them to leapfrog other players. So this is not going anyway. The combine is going to be where it is because it is one of the biggest shows that the NFL has that no other professional group has. Like, no one's watching the Summer League and the NBA where we're watching players work out. No one. And no one's watching the MLB or the NHL. I mean, the NFL is the biggest show, and we have so many prospects and guys vying to play on Sunday that someone is going to show up and participate in a T-shirt and short Olympics.
We'll continue the conversation with Nick Ferguson of KOA Radio in Denver. Does a great job there. Former NFL safety is hanging out with us. I got some more to get to with you, sir. We're not done with you just yet. Stick around. More with Nick Ferguson as we continue on this Thursday edition of Sports Wrap.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Call the number on your screen today. It's a free call.
Moving things forward on this Thursday edition of the show, something to consider. Sam Yarnell will return about 10 minutes from now. Hanging out with Nick Ferguson, former NFL safety. KOA Radio in Denver. Also part of the Broncos in-stadium, like, team that talks about the games as it's going on and all that stuff. Russell Wilson, seeing as we just mentioned the Denver Broncos. Is he going to be a starter somewhere in the NFL next year? Or do you think he's going to have to take a backup job, maybe compete with a younger quarterback? What do you see when you look into your crystal ball in the future of Russell Wilson right now, based on everything you know of what's going on in Denver and what you saw of him this season?
All of those things you just mentioned are in play, but it's all based on where Russell ends up. We know the Broncos have not released him yet. Why they haven't ripped off the Band-Aid, I have no idea. But, I mean, you look at, you know, what Chicago is right now in drafting a quarterback in Caleb Williams and moving on from Justin Fields. But the teams that you have out there, the Steelers, the Falcons, and the Patriots, both of those teams, all three of those teams, excuse me, could use a starting quarterback. And even if Russ came in as a guy, a veteran guy on a minimum deal, I still think he has some value. He can mentor a young quarterback and help them really understand what it means to be a pro. So many things on the table. That's
Nick,
why
I still think he can play, though. I think he's a viable star. I think you could still win with him in the right circumstance. Let's put it this way. If Russell Wilson was the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, are they not a Super Bowl contender?
Well, yeah, but at this point, they already have Brock Purdy.
I get that. But I'm saying he's good, and he's not going to tear you down. You can win a Super Bowl, I still think, with Russell Wilson in the right situation.
Well, yeah, you can, but this is the basic principle when it comes to Russell as a veteran or any quarterback, even as a rookie. It is essential things that need to be in place in order for any quarterback to be successful. First and foremost, you need to have an offensive coordinator that's willing and able to put things together for you, and they're not really stuck to, hey, this is my system and I want you to run my system. No, that's not how this works. Most coaches who have that frame of mind typically fail. So Russ would have to go to a team, and I gave you three, the Patriots, the Falcons, the Steelers, where they are committed to saying, you know what, let's look at the pieces we have. We want to set our quarterback to be up to be successful. But then here are the other factors. You have to go to a team that has a decent defense. You have to go to a team that's willing to stay committed to the run game. And you have to go to a team that has an offensive line that can run block for you and pass block for you. So there's a lot of things I just gave you right there. But when you look at the Atlanta Falcons, for me, that would be the perfect spot for Russ. Because Sierra's wife is from there. They got Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson.
That's the first thing you're going to mention, that Sierra's from Atlanta. How would you say Atlanta is the best spot for him? Are you going to mention that Sierra's family is from? Come on, man.
You know why? You know why? Because a happy wife, happy life. So if his wife is happy, then he is happy too as well. And it makes your job easier as a football player. Now, that's not saying that Arthur Smith and the Steelers wouldn't be a great landing spot for him, because they have Najee Harris and they have some weapons, but they still need to go out and get better with the Steelers. But you would get Russell Wilson on a minimum deal. And that's kind of the best thing, because the Broncos going to owe him $40 million regardless. If he goes to another team, maybe they negotiate something where maybe the Broncos pay half of it and the other team pays a minimum of it. But you can get Russell at a discount price, right? You can get Russell at like $8 million and you get him 2 years. That's $16 million over 2 years with some incentives involved. But I'm with you. I mean, a lot of local people here from the media standpoint, they are down on Russell. They drank that Kool-Aid, but not me, because I watch the games and I know what the hell I'm watching. Russell still has value, but it comes down to, you know, JP, is that will your offensive coordinator be so stubborn that they want to stick to their system in order opposed to say, hey, here's a system that fits you, and we're going to do everything to set you up. That's the smart play. No one gives a damn about what you know as an offensive coordinator if the guys on the field are not having success and they can't run it.
I only got about 90 seconds here. I make you Ryan Poles, your general manager of the Chicago Bears. You're in the catbird seat. All the pressure in the world, most important pick probably of your career in terms of what you do with Justin Fields and this pick that you got at the top of the draft. What are you doing?
I'm staying with Justin Fields, because if you are any GM worth your salt, your job is to put talent around your quarterback and build. And right now, I mean, for Ryan Poles, here's what he's thinking. Well, I'm going to have to give Justin Fields a contract. And maybe I'm not really sure on that, but if I go and get Caleb Williams, I reset the quarterback market for myself and I buy myself some time. So if you're Matt Eberflus, if you're Ryan Poles, what do you think of your quarterback? What do you think if you added a Marvin Harrison Jr. opposite DJ Moore? That now takes your offense to a whole different level. I mean, it's not about just buying time. You got to win some freaking games.
Yeah, they certainly do. And this decision from Ryan Poles is, like I said, I think it's potentially a career maker one way or the other. Hey, what are you expecting, you know, with some of these running backs out there, Saquon Barkley, Tony Pollard, Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler, a lot of great running backs out there. Do you expect the Broncos to get involved in the running back market at all?
Yeah, first of all, they have to even out their budget even to go after one of those guys. I know last year when Sean Payton didn't have a head coaching job, he sat on one of those shows with the Josh Jacobs and just talked about how great he was. So
yeah.
Jacobs was free. Could the Broncos try to make some moves to get Jacobs? If they did, I would love it.
Yeah, I would too. Nick Ferguson, KOA Radio in Denver, former NFL safety. Listen, my friend, always good to catch up with you. Be well. Let's do it again soon.
See you soon.
We're coming back. Something to Consider is next.
Hi, friends. Richard Karn here. Now, I'm known as the guy who can fix just about anything, but the technology in most appliances requires very special training to fix. And that's why my family has Choice Home Warranty.
Choice Home Warranty covers over 25 major home systems and appliances. That's your AC, heating, plumbing, kitchen and laundry appliances, and so much more.
Imagine for less than a cup of coffee a day, Choice Home Warranty can help protect you from expensive major system and appliance breakdowns that your homeowner's insurance doesn't cover.
Call Choice Home Warranty now and get access to a nationwide network of over 15,000 technicians and the latest appointment setting technology, so you'll know when they're on their way.
So, Do what this old DIYer did and call Choice Home Warranty now before something breaks down.
Get protection for your heating, AC, plumbing, kitchen, and laundry appliances, and more. Call for your free quote today. Call in the next 5 minutes and get your first month free. 800-394-8109. 800-394-8109.
Odds and ends right around the corner. Why not a little AL West odds discussion? And Jerry Jones, meet Maury Povich. Get to that too. But first, it's time for something to consider, Sam Yarnell. Something to consider. The greatness of Caitlin Clark continues to be on display. The latest example of that last night, 33 points. All-time D1 women's scorer now. Or D1, or what was it? And she broke, passed Lynette Woodard for the all-time D1 scoring record. She passed Lynette Woodard.
Yeah. It's the all-time record in women's college basketball across all divisions.
All divisions.
She set the single-season record for three-pointers made in that game as well. And she is 18 points from passing Pistol Pete Maravich for the all-time NCAA scoring record, men's or women's.
How do you put it in perspective? You know, when you compare it to, everybody's going to do this thing where they compare generations. It's like with home runs, with, you know, Aaron Judge and what's hitting 60 years ago versus hitting 60 now. You know, there's going to be that sort of conversation when it comes to this.
Yeah. I think that is, there's a lot of nuance that goes into that conversation because it's very sport by sport. Women's basketball, for instance, when have we seen, how long in sports history have we seen stars of this capacity in women's basketball? Like 25 years, maybe 25 years ago is when the NBA, the WNBA was founded, I believe. Maybe 25 years. It's hard to put into perspective because, like, I feel like there was a point where Sabrina Ionescu was touching this level of fame when she was at Oregon. And then obviously she gets drafted and has had a great career with the New York Liberty since. But it's hard because Brittany Griner, same thing, right? When she was at Baylor and before she went to the Phoenix Mercury. I obviously wasn't around for Sue Bird's, or I wasn't deep into the collegiate sports world during Sue Bird's tenure, but I imagine it was the same. I feel like what I'm trying to say is that there are these generations, especially in women's basketball, of these star athletes, and there's always one that's right kind of there. And think about it, right before Caitlin Clark, the year before Caitlin Clark, who was it? Paige Brucker's, Paige Buckets. And then she tears her ACL, and that gives way for Caitlin Clark to take the spotlight. It's very interesting to kind of see that dichotomy play out in women's basketball. But realistically, I think that we're going to have another one of these in the next 5 years, don't you? It kind of seems like that's what we're trending towards.
I don't know, man. I hate to admit this. I heard about half of what you said. And the reason I heard about half of what you said is I'm literally sitting here watching the highlights of her last night. And it's rare that that happens when we're doing these segments. But, I mean, it really is Curry-esque. She has unlimited range. And I don't remember. Even Diana Taurasi. And you got to remember, sure, the difference between Taurasi at UConn was she was surrounded by, you know, all-stars basically around her. So it wasn't just her. Whereas Caitlin Clark, there's a bit of Kelly Leak, Bad News Bears reference for those of you that don't understand. Go and look it up. Where she just does it. She has to do so much. So, you know, she's in a position to basically shoot it from anywhere. And I mean, and just to watch her on a game by game basis, it's kind of mind boggling. I don't know. You know, it's easy to say that maybe the game is heading in this direction and we're getting more athletic women, better shooting women. The game is evolving in such a way. I don't know, though. I mean, she was shooting shots from 15 feet behind the 3-point line last night. It's mind boggling to me. It really is.
I do. So this is, I think that what you're saying is actually going to play to her disadvantage at the next level.
I wonder.
In the WNBA, which is why I'm you know, we know she's going to be the number one overall pick.
If she decides, if she decides to come out, she could wait another year.
Right. And if she does, I would call her crazy. But I don't know if she's going to be the best WNBA talent from this draft class. Juju Watkins is very special. Juju Watkins at USC is an incredible athlete. And I think the Caitlin Clark record breaking is taken away a little bit from that. And, you know, I just got done talking about how there are these generations of stars atop the sport in women's basketball, specifically women's college basketball. Paige Brucker's going back to UConn for another year, but Juju deserves a little bit more run. I feel like she doesn't get as much attention as she should. She's going to be a very, very good WNBA player.
Put a ring on it. Yep, it's true. Shohei Ohtani is married. We're all out of luck. If we were hoping, that's it. Shohei Ohtani is married. Congratulations to him. He's got his first, as ESPN said, he's got his first ring. You know, and remember this. Jack Nicklaus always said this about Tiger Woods. Everything changes after you get married. Everything changes after you get married. You start having kids. The focus changes. The priorities change a bit. For as good as Shohei Ohtani is, just remember, when somebody gets married, everything tends to change a little bit. Just remember that.
Yeah, so that's true. This speaks more to me about the mystery that is Shohei Ohtani. Mm. Like, why does this guy, I mean, and it may be a cultural thing, and I really don't want to be non-recognition of that, but, like, the dog, he wouldn't tell anyone that he got a dog until, boom, one social media post. The team, he was super secretive about that. Now the wife, he won't even tell us her name.
But, I mean, there's
why does this guy keep everything from us?
I get it, but you know what? There's been athletes like that. Derek Jeter was very secretive. Joe DiMaggio was very secretive.
Tis prerogative.
Yeah, tis prerogative. I don't have a problem with it. Odds and ends are next. Don't go anywhere. All right, just about time to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the show. Don't forget, if you miss anything, the Sports Wrap with Jason Page vodcast podcasts available on all your favorite podcasting platforms. Go and check it out. In the meantime, time for some odds and ends. Odds and ends. Let's talk odds. In this case, the American League West. We talked earlier in the show with a guy that I respect, Jeff Fletcher, does a great job on all things Los Angeles Angels. So we were able to get into it with him a little bit about what that team is going to look like this season. But when it comes to odds on the team being very good this season, well, the odds are not very good. We didn't talk about that with him, but the odds on this Angels team are not very promising this year. They are plus 4,500 to win the AL West. Now, if you listen to Jeff talk, it's kind of a blank slate for this team. I don't think they know what they're going to be. And in an AL West where last year it was kind of up for grabs amongst three teams, plus 4,500 on the Los Angeles Angels, would you consider it?
No.
No?
Stop it.
Can't even
win total,
sprinkle?
Win total 72.5, Jason. They're going to lose 90 games.
Wow, they're 72. I didn't realize they were 72.5.
Do not put real American money on the Los Angeles. If the Oakland Athletics were not in that division, they would be hands down coming in last.
Go Moneyball.
There still might be a little contention there,
Billy,
for
Beanball.
Last place.
20 plus 25,000 on the A's. Let's go.
As much as the end of last year was a competition in this division, right? Who was it a competition between? The three heavy hitters, the three teams that are actually built to win, and the Angels, who at the time had the best player on the planet on their roster, still couldn't find their way into, and they didn't sell at the deadline. Let's remember, they bought at the, well, bought, they, I forget who their big acquisition, oh, right, Lucas Giolito, that was their big acquisition,
big
Lucas Giolito and Reynaldo Lopez, And that's who they were going to take with them, who didn't even finish the season with them. He was released, let's not forget. And they still couldn't contend in the West. No point in putting real American money on the Los Angeles Angels this year in any way, shape, or form, unless you're going to the under on their win total. And that would be a prediction that Mike Trout is getting traded, which frankly, I don't believe after his comments earlier in spring training. So I'm not touching anything with the Los Angeles Angels.
The one thing Jeff Fletcher said about Trout, and you may not have had a chance to hear it, was the only way he thinks Trout would ask out is if he was having a monster season, was healthy, and the Angels were garbage. If that's the case, then he thinks that's the only scenario, though, where Trout asks for a trade. He thinks Trout is very happy being in Los Angeles, you know, has grown accustomed and fond of living out there, that's the only way he would ask out is if he puts together a monster Mike Trout season and is also healthy. So be that as it may.
So as much, right, like who am I to disagree with that? But like, I think even if he does that, I don't know, like the way that we've seen Mike Trout act throughout his career, it seems like the world that he lives in is a very content one. And, mm-hmm. and like, that's not to say that there's any problem with that. There are plenty of players who come into the major leagues.
He's content with losing and never playing in a postseason. It does say something about him. In my opinion, it does say something about him.
It is so hard, and I think this is something that we let go by the wayside so often. It's so hard to maintain what he has done by himself over the course of the last decade, 12 years, I believe he's had mm-hmm. in major leagues. It's so hard to maintain playing at the level that he has for so long. And I think that wanting to be loyal to the organization that drafted you, brought you up, speaks more to who he is as a player than necessarily him wanting to sell himself out and go, you know, ring chase with, say, the Yankees or probably wouldn't be the Yankees. Their outfield's stacked. Who would it be? Jason, that's the other part of
Philadelphia.
All this. Who does he go to? What contender do we look at today, right? And I know that this will probably look a lot different if we do this in June, July.
Phillies.
But really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Phillies.
That's a lot you're giving up in.
What do the Mets have in the outfield?
Yeah, the Mets are not.
You got to talk about teams that, one, don't mind paying the salary. The list contracts right away once you start to do that. And then you've got to talk about teams that might be in the mix. Do I think the Mets are going to be in the mix? No, but you never know. I mean, do they make some moves to go get some arms? There's still two really good pitchers sitting out there in free agency too.
Yeah. What about this? What about the Mariners? I know an in-division trade would be weird, but like, hear me out. Astros season doesn't start great. Rangers have injury problems with their pitching like they do every year. What if the Mariners are in like first place in the AL West come July 10th?
Yeah.
And they're like, we got to go. Let's, you know, JP Crawford will find somewhere else to put you, or we'll have Mike Trout DH. I think that's a very formidable landing spot.
Yeah, it's possible. Astros -105, Rangers +200, Seattle +300. Meh.
Maybe the Rangers, but I'm not touching that. I'm not touching this division. I don't like the odds on this division.
By the way, Jerry Jones, meet Maury Povich. Cowboys owner, got to take a paternity test. Lawsuit filed by a woman claiming to be Jones' daughter. Wonders never cease. Cowboys winning those offseason headlines. We'll see you tomorrow.